The first lesson, this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, is from Exodus chapter 32. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen these people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored to the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. Let us pray. Lord, we know we deserve your anger, but you are willing to forgive and to restore us to you. Help us to receive God's forgiveness by asking him for it. Like Moses, help us to pray that God will forgive others and use us to bring the message of mercy. Amen.
Amen.
The second lesson this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. "I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Lord, Paul had shared his past failures with others, and by doing so has given people hope. Paul was forgiven and used mightily for your kingdom. Lord, we may feel our faith in God is inadequate, but help us to discover you will help our faith and love grow and bring us closer to you. Let us step out in faith and let others know what Christ has done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I now invite you to stand as you are able for reading the gospel lesson, which today is taken from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coin, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite any kids that are here to come up and join me for a children's message. Come up here. Oh, I hear a special friend who's going to come with us too. Yeah. Come on up, Olivia. Come on up and have a seat on the stairs right up here.
People wanted to represent who Jesus was. And the cross was actually not the first image that they used to represent Jesus. They used this image of Jesus holding an animal, much like what we see in the tapestry up there. The Jesus in the center holding a little goat. Oh, that's actually a sheep. This is not a sheep, this is a goat. But when we think of Jesus, we can think of the cross, but we can also think of a shepherd caring for us and always watching over us and being with us wherever we go. Does that sound groovy? All right, let's pray, shall we? So repeat after me. Dear God. Thank you so much for this day.
Thank you so much for this day.
Thank you so much for animals.
Thank you so much for animals.
And thank you for being with us always.
Thank you for being with us always.
Amen.
Job, Shepherd Jess. And our goat friends were completely quiet during the first service, and so we're glad they were adorable this time. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd, and you look after all of your animals. All of your beloved creatures, including us. We pray that when we are lost, that indeed you would seek us out. In your name we pray. Amen. No one is beyond the realm of God's merciful love. The Holy Spirit will never stop pursuing humankind. Nothing you or anyone does can put you outside of the forgiveness given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. These are three powerful statements about who our God is and how our God interacts with us. not just found in our gospel lesson today, but throughout our scriptures, throughout our stories of who Jesus is. And did you catch what is the same in all of these? That God's love is more powerful. The love of God trumps everything. Every evil, every sin, every lost sheep, every apathetic person. There's lots and lots of writings and study and blogs on what makes a good sermon. I mean, you could, a mountain of resources, whether that's humor or relatability, you know, a good understanding and exegesis of the text, a sense of mission, something to do the next day, ending your sermon before the congregation gets bored. All of these are important things. But most of all, a good sermon needs to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Our Lutheran church is broken up into kind of regions, and our little region called the Synod has a local bishop who kind of oversees and gives guidance. His name is Bishop Andy Taylor. He actually used to be a pastor here at this church back in the 1980s. And he's got kind of a little mantra that he includes in most of the time that he preaches. And it, I'm paraphrasing here, but it goes something like this. God has got you. God's got you taken care of in this world and in the next life. So you don't have to worry about yourself. You need not fear. God's got you in this life and the next. And I've been ruminating over that this past week too, especially as I've been thinking about this parable for the week, the parable of the lost sheep. How many of you ever heard of this, the lost sheep, or is Jesus being a shepherd? Maybe a few, yeah. And I love that. I forgot that this banner was hanging up here today, but it could not have been more fitting that this was the one we have up for today, Jesus as the shepherd. But I love this one because it has such vivid and rich imagery, right? I mean, we hear of the Lamb of God, and we think of an adorable little lamb like that, or the tiny little goat that Jessica was carrying, right? This adorable, cute little animal. We can almost hear that sheep singing the same noises that that little goat was. That soft little, ah. It's sometimes easier to picture ourselves as the lovable little lamb in need of a shepherd's protecting. You know, the shepherd goes out to search for his precious, beloved, favorite little lamb, spotless and white wool. But if 99 sheep come home and one is still out there running around, my guess is that it's probably not the shepherd's favorite sheep. My guess is that this sheep is probably a troublemaker of the bunch. My guess is that this sheep is the one that the shepherd has to 2, 3, 4 times say, come home, come home. My guess is this sheep is probably more like this one. Which I just have to say, the caption for this title was Teenager Hoists Sheep from Bog. My guess is that when the shepherd goes out looking for that one, it's not the adorable little fluffy sheep, but it's this sheep that ran off and got itself stuck in a muddy bog. And I can tell you, if I were a shepherd, if I had 1 out of 100 that was missing and ran off to get itself stuck in a bog, I certainly would not be as gracious or joyful, nor certainly as celebratory with my friends and neighbors as the shepherd was in our gospel lesson. But God is. God is not a shepherd like I would be. God is a shepherd that when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. Because no one is beyond the realm of God's merciful love. The Holy Spirit will never stop pursuing the hearts of humankind, even when we run off and get stuck in the miry clay. And nothing you do, nor
anyone does can put us outside of the forgiveness given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So just remember, God's got you. God's got you in this world and in the next. So you don't have to worry about yourself.
Now, what I didn't share with you, and again, this is a paraphrase, but our bishop, when he preaches, often says this, followed by a second part of his sentence.
So, you are free to lift your eyes from yourself in service to your neighbor. If Jesus has everything in your life taken care of, if Jesus has taken care of you and forgiven your sins and given you the promise of salvation, then you need not worry about yourself in this world or the next. Instead, you can lift your eyes from yourself and look how you can serve your neighbor. In our gospel lesson today, this story, which has this beautiful parable in it, starts out, we have to look at who the audience is. Jesus was sitting there eating with sinners and tax collectors, people who were on the outcasts of society. And while he was sitting there, Pharisees and scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. Jesus told the Pharisees this parable. He wasn't recounting this story for the sinners and tax collectors. They were experiencing what it meant to be found in Jesus Christ. But those Pharisees who felt like they had it all together, who thought that they had everything understood, were the ones who had to realize, no. Jesus is coming for the lost and the lonely. So often we look at this parable as being a comforting promise that Jesus will seek us out, that God will go into all the dark places of this world and shine the light of Christ until each and every one of us is found. But I can't help but see who Jesus is telling this story to. He's telling this story to the Pharisees. They weren't lost, but they didn't get what Jesus was up to. Sometimes we are the sinners and tax collectors, those who need to be redeemed by Jesus Christ, and hear that God's got you in this world and in the next, so you don't have to worry about yourselves. And sometimes we are the Pharisees. We are the Pharisees because you know that promise. You are not lost. You have already been found. So quit looking in on yourself. Raise your eyes and look at how you can serve your neighbor. The Pharisees were likely proud to have had this noted rabbi in their presence, another sign that they were following all of God's laws to a T. But then he focused not on them, but on the lost, on the sinners and the tax collectors, those who were outcasts, and it just didn't seem fair. Sometimes as a church, we can do that too. Sometimes we, as a church, not just this church, Emmanuel, not just the larger Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but the whole Christian church can get very focused in on ourselves, our ministries, our mission, our people, and forget that God's table is much, much bigger. Big enough to include the lost. Because it is not our ministries, but God's ministries. It's not our mission, it's God's mission, and it's not our people, it's God's people. That is what this church is called to do. And sometimes that means that God uses us and disrupts our lives, upsets our way of living out our faith, and sometimes Jesus cares less about the hospitality rules of the Pharisees and cares more about welcoming the sinners and tax collectors. One of the things that I've been saying a lot over the past few months is encouraging people in this church to stretch their ministry legs. And I love it because each week somebody or a couple of people will contact me or email me or text me and mention how they've been doing that. And each time as somebody stretches their legs, we've been adding one more little stone to that glass. I got to add another one this week from VJ Roberts. She emailed me a number of days ago and said, when is Trunk or Treat? Trunk or Treat, an event that we have for kids. Yeah. She said, I'm stretching my legs here, but I'm going to invite some people from my work. And I said, really? So I typed it back. I said, this is the day. She goes, I think it'd be good for them to see this community that we have here. And so I'm stretching, and I'm going to invite them. I was thinking about what BJ said, and about how she was stretching to invite people to this event that we have coming up at the end of October. And I thought about that event. It's huge. We have a lot of people come. It's one of the favorite ones. All of our kids from our church come. There's a couple hundred people here. It's a blast. But then I began to think, you know, like a Pharisee. I thought, what if VJ goes out and invites like 70 people, and all of a sudden all these newcomers are here? And what happens if they spill on our floor? And there's food all over the fellowship hall, and we're left cleaning it up. What if they come and they mess up all our games and just take a handful of prizes? Have no respect for the beanbag toss at all. What if we invite the people in and they come and eat all our candy so there's nothing left for our kids? That's not how trunk or treat is supposed to go. We can get that way sometimes, can't we? When we dare to invite new people to our table. But what if just one person comes and feels the love of the Lord in the welcome that they receive from you? What if one person comes and witnesses the children of God living lives of blessedness in this place? What if one little lost lamb comes here, and in you sees the face of Jesus? Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need for repentance. This parable is as much for the searcher as it is for the lost. Like the Pharisees, it can be intimidating when new people make their way to our dinner table. Sometimes we only want the cute lamb and the shiny coin. But know that when the lost are found, there is rejoicing in heaven amongst the angels. We can be instruments of God's unsettling work to turn this world upside down. We can be the ones who practice radical hospitality. We get to be the ones who welcome the stranger and search for the lost. Because when we're lost sheep. When we were out in the wilderness, Jesus came to find us. When we were the lost coin, when we were that coin underneath the bureau, Jesus took great joy in searching out each corner to find us out. And when we were yet sinners, Jesus forgave our sins and invited us to sit with him and eat. So let us do the same. Open our table for all to come. Amen.